Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to All Exits Closed. My guest today is Alan Collins, head of studentloanjustice.org. And Alan is here to talk about his disappointment with the State of the Union address. So, Alan, first of all, let's talk about the president. He didn't mention it once, and he kept talking about, you know, immigrants coming from, you know, Mexico and stuff, and that was a big chunk of the speech. So,
we heard about the great economy, we heard about the wall, we heard about investigations. We heard not one word about student loans, and this has been par for the course. You know, since Trump announced his presidency, he has not, to my knowledge, mentioned student loans, even said those two words together at all in any of his speeches, any of his interviews, any of his press conferences, any of his anything, any of his executive orders, nothing. I have not heard student loans even one time.
Right.
So it's really kind of frustrating because, you know, before he announced his run for president, he did talk about student loans, and he decried the fact that the government was making such an obscene profit in student loans. You know, he said of all the places the government shouldn't be making a profit, student loans would be it. You know, this is ridiculous. And so
Right. Well,
we've been waiting for Donald Trump to circle around back to this issue for 2 years now, and I'm not seeing any evidence that that's going to happen. I'm hopeful, but it's been 2 years now, guys. it's been too long.
Right.
So I'm a little upset.
And then after the president spoke, there was the Democratic rebuttal. And Stacey Abrams, who is from Georgia, I believe, she didn't mention it once. She did not mention it at all. You know, they talk about the middle class and jobs and stuff like that, but there's nothing, absolutely nothing, about student loan debt whatsoever. And, you know, over 45 million Americans, and you said that debt is reaching $2 trillion. I mean, why?
That's right.
Did they
say, you know, 10 years ago, maybe they could have gotten away with this, and they did. They didn't mention student loans similarly 10 years ago. You know, 10 years ago, we only owed something like $600 or $700 billion. That, and don't get me wrong, that is a tremendous amount of money. But, you know, we've added well over $1 trillion to that amount as we speak today. My best guess is that if you count all the stuff that they don't count in the official tally, like a bunch of capitalized interest and other off-the-book loans that people get on their homes and their other assets to put their kids through college, we're well over $2 trillion at this point. And we also know, Cynthia, that the default rate for 2004 students is 40%. Okay, now, 2004 students were only borrowing around $13,000 on average. Their default rate was 40%. Today, students are leaving colleges with an average of somewhere around $40,000. So the true default rate for everybody that's walking around with student loans right now has got to be way over 40%. It's probably 50, 60% or even higher. So this is just inexcusable that both parties are so reluctant, unwilling to address this issue. It's just too big. By my best estimates, there's something like 12 million people who are sitting around in default right now. Their lives are wrecked. And, you know, it's just a sign.
You know something? The thing that really confuses me, maybe I shouldn't use the word confused, is, you know, whether you put on CNN, NBC, or any other cable station, nobody, no quote unquote respected journalist even brings up this issue as something that has to be addressed. How do you feel about that?
You know, I work with the media all day long, every day, and that is precisely correct. None of the big networks, not CNN, not MSNBC, not Fox News, not even CNBC, want to really touch this issue, certainly not on television. We've had some good luck recently with CNBC in their print media and a few sporadic hits with the other networks in print media. But this is not an issue that the big five networks are willing to put to air. And I don't know what's going on in the editorial boards, editorial rooms of these networks, but it's very, very concerning.
Wow. So I know that you had a sign one time when you were in New York City and you held up a sign and Geraldo Rivera looked at your sign and said, "Who's that guy?" But as far as like people who are, you know, burdened with this.
Yeah, you know, it's quite sad. You know, I've been on 60 Minutes Top Story. I've been on PBS, on NPR, on all of the networks, CNBC, Rolling Stone, Vice, you know, all the big shows at one point or another in the past. And that, you know, guys like me are relegated to stalking the Fox News studio from the sidewalk holding a sign just to get any attention to this issue. It's quite sad. Yeah. You know, to be fair to Fox, we were actually featured like 6 times on Fox News Radio last year. And so, you know, there are people in the mainstream media who are paying attention to this, but we seem to be relegated to the squad, and that's shocking given the size of this problem. You know, we also see a lot of sort of big government and corporate propaganda that gets seeded in the media and is used very effectively to tamp down the zeitgeist on this issue. And I can only urge everybody out there listening that, you know, if they're hoping for the media to solve this problem for them on their own student loans, they're going to be waiting a long time. And it really is up to the citizens who are impacted by this to get off their couches and hit the streets and start raising Cain, because that's what's got to happen if we want to affect any sort of political change.
So at the State of the Union speech, you know, that there were all of the Democratic women, they were dressed in white, and I'm sure that a number of them gave little, you know, comments to the reporters, and it boggles my mind why everybody, the politicians, the news media, is so silent on this issue. You know, one of the big things is I'm interested not only in uncovering how this problem started, but why this problem started. Because during the, you know, as baby boomers were growing up and their parents who had the GI Bill and, you know, they had college tuition paid for. And then all of a sudden, the rug was pulled out from under them. Why? I'd like to know why the government has done this to so many people in this country.
Yeah, you know, this really goes back to the 70s, Cynthia. And some would say this goes back to something called the Powell Memo, which was a pretty conservative widespread system-wide effort to make sure that the Cultural Revolution of the 60s never happened again. So there was this Powell memo that issued, you know, decades-long marching orders to infiltrate the colleges, infiltrate the media, infiltrate the NGOs, the think tanks in Washington, D.C., and do everything possible to control the students. And, you know, I'm no conspiracy theorist, but certainly I would say that that certainly matches the events on the ground, certainly matches that argument. But, you know, more importantly, you just mentioned the women in white in Congress. You know, there's been a great influx of women into today's legislature. You know, 2/3 of all student loan debt is held by females. 2/3. And as a general principle, something like 56% versus 44% of all college students are women. So it's great to throw on the white dress, and it's great to have a 5 million women's march the day after the presidential inauguration.
Right.
But if you're not going to fight for the women who you claim to represent, then what good is it? And I can think of no stronger, more urgent economic problem facing women today than the student loan problem. This is just disgusting. And I can only hope that the women in white in Congress will take their role seriously and pretending to fight for the women they claim to represent, actually fighting for them. We need, at a minimum, the standard bankruptcy rights that were taken away uniquely from student loans. We need those rights returned. There's one line of federal code, 11 U.S. Code 523 parentheses A parentheses 8. This one line of code makes student loans different from all other loans in this country and makes them uniquely exempt, stripped of bankruptcy protections. This has got to go away. And I can only hope that the women in Congress will make this their mission. And I'm talking to not only Democratic, but also conservative members of Congress, like Susan Collins, like Lisa Murkowski in the Senate, and others.
What year did that happen? What year was that put into the federal government?
Well, Congress first started monkeying around with bankruptcy laws for student loans in 1977. By 1998, they had effectively stripped all meaningful bankruptcy rights away from student loans completely. And then in 2005, they went even one step further and took bankruptcy away from private student loans. There was never a rational basis for this. What they did was they trotted out these stories about people flocking from graduation to bankruptcy court, and this was used to create a stir and get this legislation put through. And, you know, back then it was pretty innocuous because student loans on average were maybe a few hundred dollars. But here we are, flash forward to 2019, and the average student is leaving school with almost a home mortgage on their backs in student loan debt. And so we can see why the founding fathers demanded bankruptcy rights ahead of the power to declare war, ahead of the power to raise an army, ahead of the power to coin currency. And so I can only repeat for the millionth time that the bankruptcy rights that should have never been taken away must be returned. And, you know, I might add, back when bankruptcy was allowed for student loans back in the 70s, it turns out that far less than 1% were actually being discharged. So this fear-mongering about students flocking to bankruptcy court after graduation, it was a complete hoax in the first place.
Wow.
So, you know, we're talking about Congress and we're talking about, you know, the big cable networks that cover it. But when you go around and you go to different states and you talk to people, are there any elected officials at the state level? And is there press on the state and local level that's bringing attention to this issue?
Well, you know, interestingly, over the years, we have gotten the state legislature of Illinois to adopt pass legislation, calling for the return of standard consumer protections like bankruptcy to student loans. We also got the city of Albany, New York, to their great credit, also the city of Binghamton, New York, to pass similar city resolutions calling for the same. But, you know, this is a federal problem, Cynthia, and I applaud state and city efforts to at least pass something, even if it's non-binding, to solve this problem. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's quite hard for local city, state, county governments to do much more than send a message. All those messages are important.
I know in the city of Albany that Jim Sano had introduced this legislation when he was a common council member. And I remember talking to him and talking to him about his legislation. And he said he reached out to other municipalities throughout the state, and nobody would even touch it. So, I mean, I think that's kind of telling.
He was successful in getting the city of Binghamton to follow suit, so that was good.
Okay,
I think they almost did it in one of the boroughs in Manhattan as well, but I don't think they quite got over the hump. But I appreciate Jim's efforts, and, you know, it's going to take individuals like Jim Sano, and more to the point, I would say individuals who carry student loan debt to really own this problem, take leadership, personal leadership on this issue, and fight this injustice with us. You know, all politics are indeed truly local. Comes down to looking people in the eye and getting it done, getting off the couch, so
now,
to speak.
You and I are talking on a podcast about the State of the Union speech. I don't see people marching in the streets, raising their fists, raising their voices, and saying, do something about the student loan debt crisis. It's silent, absolutely silent. And I believe that's got to change.
It absolutely has to change, you know, and this goes back to centuries, even millennia before. You know, John Adams, one of our founding fathers, said, you know, there's two ways to conquer and enslave a country. One is by the sword. The other is by debt. And, you know, that's very, very true. Debt is a very strong weapon to use against a citizenry. It keeps them quiet. It keeps them busy. It keeps them discouraged, keeps them anxious, and, you know, a lot of people don't even want to tell their husbands and wives about their student loan problems. Really kind of a source of shame and so forth. But we've got to get over that. The founding fathers saw this problem for what it was, and I can only urge people that they know what I just said, if they feel that very closely in their own lives, that they get over it. Because that's not going to win the battle. That's going to lose the battle. Staying demoralized and quiet, can't do it. Got to get loud. You know, this is
so
a very strong argument. I'm proud to be making it, and others should be doing the same thing.
And you have studentloanjustice.org. You have Facebook pages for every chapter. How's that going?
Yeah, we've got a website, studentloanjustice.org. We've got 50 state chapters on Facebook. We've got a main Facebook group. And we're looking very much forward to some really good legislation coming out very shortly. I can't say much more than that right now. It's very early in the congressional session. But I can tell you that we're going to have great legislation to fight for very soon. And so everybody with student loans that hears this should be coming to our site, signing up with their state chapters, and getting ready to fight either as an army of one or with their state chapters, you know, in a small group, whatever it takes. They need to get up to fight, because this problem will only get solved when they do.
Okay, so, Alan, I look forward to having you back on All Access Closed to talk about, you know, the upcoming legislation and how this issue will evolve. So in closing moments, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, I think we pretty much covered it pretty well, Cynthia. I suppose just the last thing I'll say is everywhere we've gone to argue our point that at a minimum bankruptcy rights must be restored, we have won that argument. We were featured on 60 Minutes, and Sallie Mae refused to show up to be interviewed. We give presentations where the lenders are invited to present with us, and they pull out of the entire conference. So this is a very winning battle, but we've got a great, great, strong muscle to flex. But we have to flex it, and it starts with the people listening to this who have student loans.
Great. So, Alan, we'll talk again as upcoming legislation is proposed. So you've been listening to Alan Collins, the founder of StudentLoanJustice.org. You're listening to All Exits Closed. If you like the show, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Thank you so much, Alan, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.